Good afternoon and welcome to yet another session of Love to Love, coming to you live from the studios of Radio Sai here in Prashanthi Nilayam. My name is Chandu Vijay and thank you for joining us this afternoon.
This was in the 1930s, in a small Polish village of Prochnik, lived a rabbi, and his name was Samuel Shapira. This rabbi had a habit. Every morning he went for a long walk in the Polish countryside, and whomever he met, with genuine feeling he would wish them. And it so happened that every day his path crossed a peasant, a particular farmer, a German farmer. His name was Müller. And so our rabbi would greet him. "Good morning, Herr Müller." Now the tensions between the Germans and Jews had grown. And so Herr Müller would only scowl. But our rabbi never gave up. He was trained in the Talmudic dictum to love everybody. And since he was a rabbi, practice was important to him. So he would greet him day after day, day after day. And slowly the German began to thaw. What was a scowl changed slowly into a nod, and the nod to a tipping of a hat, and the tipping of a hat slowly became a gruff, "Good morning, Rabbi." But that was the end of the dramatic event. Days passed. Hitler grew in power. Jews were sent to concentration camps. And our rabbi was also in a concentration camp. He was shifted from one to the other till finally they reached Auschwitz. And when he was entering the concentration camp, he saw a soldier standing there waving a baton in two directions, right, left. So the Jews who were getting down from their vehicles were sent randomly either left or right. Unknown to them, going towards the left meant death, and going towards the right meant a few more days of survival. Now when our rabbi was slowly trudging towards this soldier, he looked up, and that second even the soldier turned. For a few seconds their eyes locked. And when he drew closer, the rabbi said, "Good morning, Herr Müller." And the soldier under his breath said, "Good morning, Rabbi." But loudly, he exaggeratedly pushed his baton to the right side and said, "Right." And our rabbi got a few more days of life. The moral of the story: as you sow, so you will reap.
So dear listeners, that is the topic of our discussion today. Karma, a word that makes many cringe in fear and usually arouses pretty negative feelings. Well, actually, did you know that the word karma in Sanskrit simply means action? And this really refers to all kinds of action, whether it is good or bad. And this afternoon, we are going to tackle this heavy subject head on and try to understand that actually it is really not all that bad. And let's try to answer some of the questions we all have on karma. Like, what is karma? Why do we have to experience it? Can karma be changed? Well, dear listeners, all this and more this afternoon on Love to Love. So stay tuned.
Receive the grace of the most great peace the earth has ever known.
We're floating on pure love, as below, so above. As far as I know, it's the same wherever we go. Since you can see everything that I can see, let's you and me be peaceful and in prosperity. What's all the fighting for? It's love that opens all the doors. And more. It's plain to you, it's plain to me, and soon to all of humanity. Each sister, my sister. Each brother, my brother. I bless myself. I bless all others.
While fear and God is here, we receive the grace of the most great peace the earth has ever known.
Once, when sage Narada was proceeding to Vaikuntha, the heavenly abode of the Lord Vishnu, he encountered a yogi who was engaged in severe ascetic practices. Now, the yogi met Narada and he prayed to Narada to bring back from Vaikuntha information about the date of his becoming entitled to enter into the Lord's abode. And Narada promised him that he would talk to Lord Vishnu about it and get back once he comes back. So when Narada stood in the presence of Lord Vishnu, he pleaded on behalf of this yogi and asked that Lord Vishnu may please reveal the date on which this yogi could merge with the Lord, or this yogi could enter the Lord's kingdom. And then the Lord replied, telling that he will be coming to Vaikuntha after as many more births as there are leaves on the tree under which he is currently doing penance. Now, when Narada heard this, he felt very sad. And he thought, how can I tell this to the yogi? Because he thought of the grief that the yogi would feel, you know, when he hears such a news, because obviously the tree was full of leaves. But he mustered the courage to announce it to the yogi anyway, because the yogi was very insistent that he wanted to know when he could enter the Lord's kingdom. So when Narada finally broke this demoralizing decision of Lord Vishnu, quite contrary to his expectations, the yogi was transported into a realm of joy. He was not at all dispirited to hear the news. In fact, he was so happy, he started jumping and dancing. He was lost in the thrill of his dream becoming so near actual fulfillment. He became oblivious to the world around and was filled with ecstasy, thinking of the Lord and offering him his profound gratitude. Now, Lord Vishnu, when he saw this happening, he was so pleased with the joy of the yogi that he himself appeared then and there in front of the yogi and offered him Vaikuntham then and there immediately. But surprisingly, the yogi said that he would bide his time, for he didn't want his Lord's word, which Narada had brought, to be falsified. Now, Lord Vishnu convinced him that good deeds, noble thoughts and sacred feelings can wipe out the tracings of bad. Therefore, by his enthusiastic acceptance of the Lord's will, he has actually overcome the consequences of all his past actions. So there it is, dear listeners, the law of karma is not an iron law. By dedication and purification, which brings divine benediction, its effects can be modified and its rigor mitigated. So do not despair, do not lose heart. When vices hold sway over your heart, it becomes foul and sooty. The flames of kama, krodha, lobha and moha, they char the heart. What quenches these flames is the grace of the Lord. Grace confers bliss, anandam, which the evil tendencies like kama, krodha and lobha can never confer.
Grace, how sweet.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So in the beginning of the program, I said that we're going to be asking a few questions. And one of the questions was, what is karma? So let us ask the supreme source of all karma, of everything. Swami says, karma is an activity which all human beings have to perform until death releases them from this body prison. Man cannot live for a moment without doing karma. Even while he is sleeping, the breathing process becomes his karma. Karma is the cause of man's bondage to the cycle of birth and death. Life has been given to man to sort out the consequences of the previous karma deliberately done in many past lives as well as in the present life. Man cannot be liberated until and unless he has sorted out and neutralized all effects of past and present karma, and thus bringing the karmic balance to nil. So we can think of this karma as a boomerang. You know, the universe, it operates on certain principles, and this energy, it comes back to us. The law of karma works perfectly, whether we are aware of it or not. Whether we do good, or we do bad, or we do no action. Everything has a repercussion. You know, all of us know the story of Shravan Kumar from Ramayana, where unknowingly King Dasharatha kills Shravan Kumar, thinking him to be an animal. So the blind parents of Shravan Kumar curses Dasharatha, and the curse comes true. Dasharatha died in the sorrow pangs of losing his son Rama. In one of his discourses, Swami said that, in short, karma is movement, karma is action, and karma is progress, and finally, karma is evolution. So, dear listeners, let's now listen to Sister Suma, whom you also heard in the beginning of this show, talking about this very same thing, that is karma as movement, action, progress, and evolution. Sister Suma is an assistant professor at the Department of Commerce in the Anandpur campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and this talk was delivered on the 9th of June 2012 during the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So here is Sister Suma.
The first one, karma as movement. Swami said that the Godhood, when he slightly moved and desired to become, that's when the whole of creation came forward. So the original action was that one. That means karma has very divine origin. It begins with God himself. What is the relevance of this to us is that if karma has a divine origin, then solution is also divine. And going near this divine will get us out of this karmic cycle. So therefore, the understanding that the whole of karma theory comes from God himself is extremely important. When Swami comes down to earth, when God comes down to earth, he follows his laws. He does not break the rules because he is the master. He also performs karmas. But when he performs karmas, he is not bound to them in any way, and therefore every action he performs is like a sacrifice. It's done for the good of many all the time. However, we are not on the same milieu, so we have to go towards ways of making our karma more pure. The next is karma as action. If you look at it as action, we always think action is something which is physical and visible and something which we can look at, but it's not so. Even thought is karma. Even word is karma. So, actually we are performing karmas all the time. Even if we decide not to act, that is also a karma. Even breathing is karma, Swami says. So, do we have an escape from this? No way. But there is something about this we need to understand a little deeply. The thought leads to an action. The action is always the visible part of the thought. But the seed of action is always the desire. Why is knowing this important? Because if you want to change the process of your actions, it has to begin at the thought level itself. And that is why this principle is important to know. Swami said this, Yat dhyayati tat ichyati, yat ichyati tat karoti, yat karoti tat bhavati. What you begin to dwell on in your mind slowly becomes a desire. And once it becomes a desire, you start acting towards it. And once you begin to act, then it begins to happen. The universe is like a very friendly phenomenon. It's huge. And whatever thought seeds you sow in it, it will give it back to you. It may not be in the time frame that you prescribe, but it does happen. Whether we like it or not, God built us like masters. Now if we want to not live like masters, that is also a choice. And then we pay for that choice. Another aspect of karma is the hereditary effect. Imagine if we are performing karmas all the time, you can be sure that we have a huge store of it and it must be spilling over. And so, the karmas that we do in one life start affecting the way we are born in the next life and create the ambience to work them out. So birth is the result of karma, and this is another aspect of karma. The Buddhists talk about this wheel of karma because they talk about how life after life we clear our karmic loads. And they also tell that your birth is determined by what you do in the past. So you know, people always tell us you're so lucky that you're born and you came to know of Swami and that you become Swami's students. It's really your good karma. And we hear it so often that we don't really ponder over it. But it's really true. Of lifetimes of good must have brought in us an interest, a deservedness, which brought us close to Bhagwan and which brought us to be a part of his institutions. And you know, it's something like this. If you had done this over lifetimes, obviously you will be put into an environment which provides those things and you can get a chance to build it further. So it has a reinforcing effect on your life. Now there's another thing we come across, I call it karma tense because it's like past, future, present tense. You have prarabdha karma, sanchita karma and agami karma. So sanchita is the total store that we have and we'll take lifetimes to redeem it. Prarabdha is what we bring for this lifetime, this journey. And agami is what we keep on building as we live life. Now if we are a little indiscreet about the agami, be sure we'll be adding to the sanchita. And consequently to our prarabdha. But if you hear all this, it makes you feel that there's something very fatalistic about this whole thing. You act whether you know it or not, and everything is collecting against you, because mostly we are doing things against everybody. So it looks like it's a trap, but that's not so. The whole theory of karma is built with a great deal of positivity in it. It's the highway to evolution also. So how does that work? Karma implies, see, for example, you're talking about delayed effect. You do something and then you're paying it back at some other lifetime. So when you're in the next lifetime, you don't know why circumstance after circumstance is coming towards you. But you know that you can build your own life. And if you know that, then you have a choice. And this choice is the most empowering part of life. Swami says very often, what comes to you may be destiny, may be your karma, but how you react to it, that's in your hands. You can change things.
कृष्ण तिरस्कार है जीवन मतलब प्यार है प्रेममयी हो सृष्टि सारी साई की यही पुकार है
रीत की रीत निभाता चल प्रेम सुखा कर पाता चल तरुण तपस्वी हो साई जग सुंदर परम बनाता चल
Welcome back, dear listeners. So now we understand what karma is. Swami says karma is movement, it is action, it is progress, and it is evolution. And that we should accept every action has a reaction to it, whether it is good or bad. Now, let us take a look at three types of karma. Swami says that there are three types of karma. The first is the instant karma, which brings instant results. It is something like the instant noodles that we have. You know, you put the noodles in a cup, pour hot water, and within 2 minutes, the fruit of your action is ready for you to eat. Other examples like you slap somebody and someone slaps you back. Or you treat someone with respect and then immediately you get respect back from that person. So they are action and reaction that is instantly neutralized and leaves no balance behind. Another type of karma, according to Swami, is the mass karma. Now, that is a karma that affects a large number of people, a group of people, like a city, for town, or a country. Like calamities, it's like a tsunami, or a plane crash, a train accidents, earthquakes, floods, cyclones, which recently have been happening a lot in the world. And third type is the delayed karma. Now, this is something which baffles everybody, you know, because the consequence of this karma, it's not instant and not, it is not immediate, and it takes much longer time to appear. Now, because the seed needs to be planted, the soil needs to be fertilized, the tree has to grow, and the fruit of the action has to come. And by the time this whole process happens, the past actions are forgotten. And the person is confused, you know, when he gets the fruit of his past actions. Sometimes something bad happens. Somebody cheats you. And a lot of times it happens and we ask, why is it happening to me? What have I done to this person that he did this to me? Because this is an example of the delayed karma where you have forgotten what you have done. It might have happened in your childhood or it might have happened in your previous birth or some much births before your previous births. So, dear listeners, be very sure that whatever you shall sow, so you shall reap. This theory in a nutshell is the law of karma. Welcome back, dear listeners. Now, many people view karma in a very negative light, and they only turn to understand it when something bad happens. You know, we all are very quick to blame negative incidents on karma, stating that, you know, it may have been something from the past life or something written in our horoscopes and things like that. Well, the first step is to attempt to see and understand karma as objectively as possible and accept that each action must have a reaction In other words, what we sow is what we reap. Therefore, even if we have to experience the reactions for actions done in past lifetimes, we must first accept that it is all just part of the universal plan or a part of laws of the universe in action. Now, it may not be in the time frame you prescribe, but it always happens whether we like it or not. God built us like masters, like Sister Suma was saying. Now, to live like masters or slaves, it is our choice. Now, one question that arises in the minds of skeptics or those who seek to understand this whole theory of karma is this. Why do bad things happen to good people? It is a very famous question asked by many people around the world. Now, if indeed the universe operates on the principle of you sow what you reap, then logically good things should happen to good people and bad things should happen to people who are bad. But in our practical experience, when we look around, this doesn't seem to be the law that is operating in the world. Right? We see so many times good people undergoing a lot of suffering and bad people who does bad things, who tortures other people, they seem to be living a very happy life. Well, of course, by now, after talking about the three types of karma that Swami said, you will know by now that the answer lies in the delayed karma. That is, the effect of the action is basically delayed. Like, remember, we spoke about how we must always undergo the consequences of the past karma, regardless of when it was performed. In this life, or the previous life, or the three lives before the previous life. So what happens is that situations come to us for what we have done, and not because what somebody else has done. However, the first step is to release ourselves from the victim syndrome. That is to blame yourself. Never blame yourself, even though it is your action, yes. But blaming yourself and acting like a victim, it really doesn't help. Swami says that every human being thinks that he has undergone suffering, though he has not done anything bad now. But the fact is, whatever pleasure or pain anyone undergoes is due to the karma performed. Now, every human being performs karma and enjoys the fruit as a consequence. Now, the first step in living like masters and not living like a slave is to stop blaming everything else. Stop blaming and take responsibility for your life.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are on the topic of karma, so please join us as we attempt at understanding the intricacies of this topic. So we now understand that we always perform karma, and the consequences of our actions are inevitable. However, we can mitigate or balance the effects of karma by choosing what we do at every moment. how we respond to a situation can greatly alter the course of the future. But we have to take a minute and stop to think about it. So how do we make these choices? How do we make the right choice? How do we act right? Well, it has everything to do with being true to one's own nature, that is, following your Atma Dharma. A simple story from the Upanishads can illustrate this point. So let us now listen to Professor G. Venkatraman narrating this story for us.
There lived in the forest a yogi. Every morning, he used to go to the river to have his bath there. This river being near a village, many residents of the village also used to come to the river to have a dip. One day, a villager saw a strange sight. A scorpion had slipped from the river bank into the river and was struggling. The holy man who was bathing saw the struggling scorpion, picked it up with his fingers to rescue it. Even as he did so, the scorpion stung him. Unmindful of that, the man gently deposited the scorpion on the river bank and resumed his bath. Unfortunately for the scorpion, it slipped again and was once again struggling for life. Once more, the holy man picked the scorpion and returned it to the bank, and even as he was doing so, the scorpion stung him once more. Interestingly, this happened 3 or 4 times, and the villager who saw all this was simply stunned. Unable to contain himself, the villager asked the sage, "O Holy One, why are you repeatedly saving the ungrateful scorpion that goes on stinging you?" The holy man smiled and replied, "There's nothing strange about that. The scorpion is doing what is natural to it, and I'm also doing what is natural to me. That's all."
So, dear listeners, this story tells us a lot, and I would urge you to strongly urge you to spend some time thinking about what this story conveys. It is a reminder that one must act or perform action in full awareness of one's true nature. Of course, in this story, the yogi was doing it that way, and that is the real point of the story, and not that we must get repeatedly stung by a scorpion. So, as human beings, our true nature is to embrace our divine reality. And so this is why Swami always tells us to choose to identify with the divine self within us, instead of following our actions instead of allowing our actions to stem from a body conscious level.
Sab dharmon ke rang ho.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So by choosing to respond to a situation we face today, we are in fact altering the course of our future and shaping it to become what we want at every moment. Well, if that sounded a bit confusing, let us look at it again. Swami has mentioned this before. Swami said that karma is only a nucleus of the past that creates your present journey. Simply put, it means that what you choose to do today in this present moment will in fact alter the way the future turns out for you. In this sense, we must remember that karma is not something that is written on a stone that cannot be erased. How we respond to our individual challenges will initiate a new path for the future before you. So here is another story, another beautiful story that illustrates this point. So once two young men approached a sage, and as they sat in front of the sage opened his eyes, looked at one of them and told that, "You, my son, will become a king, because that is there in your destiny." So this young man was elated. He looked at the other, and the sage looked at the other man and said, "I'm sorry, son, you're going to die within a year." Now, both these people, they left for their village. One was feeling so bad, he was feeling miserable, and the other was too happy for words. So this man, who was destined to become the king, he started thinking and living like a king already. And so soon he developed all the vices, he started spending whatever money he had, and he started throwing his weight around everybody in the village. He became selfish, he became callous, he didn't bother about anyone else. While the other man, who was destined to die, he was very despondent for some days, and then he realized that his time is very limited, and in that time he has to do something. So he started to thank everyone who has made a difference to his life, and he slowly started to help others, and thus changing his perspective of life completely. And he was slowly preparing for his own death. Now, 1 year passed, so neither the first man became a king, nor did the second fellow, he died. So these people, they decided that they should go and meet the saint and get this clarified as to why his prediction did not come true. So they set off, and they were going through a forest, when unfortunately for them, they were attacked by thieves. Now the man who was to become the king, he was more agile, and he quickly climbed a tree and hid himself in the foliage, while the other man, he ran for his life. But unfortunately for that person, the thieves, they caught him and they beat him up and they took everything he had. Now the thieves, later they came back and they buried a pot of gold, which was their loot, under a tree. It so happened that it was the same tree on top of which the first man was hiding. So when the thieves left for their next mission, this man who was hiding on the tree, he got down, he dug up the place, he took the pot of gold, and he searched for his injured friend who was thankfully not dead. And then they went to meet the sage. So this time they went and they asked the sage as to why his prediction did not come true. Now the sage said, looking at the man who was destined to be a king, he said, "You were destined to become the king, but because of all the things that you did, your destiny, it got reduced to just a pot of gold." And then he looked at the other person who was destined to die within a year and said, "You were destined to die within a year, but all because of all the good actions that you did in the past 1 year, the death got reduced just to injury." So dear listeners, the actions that we do today can affect us tomorrow, and the backlog can be changed. So there is the answer to the question that can we alter our karmic consequences? Of course, the answer is yes, we can. And it all depends on how you choose to act at this very moment. So this is why Swami always reminds us to live fully and completely in the present moment and always remember to act out of love.
Let my heart reflect your light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect your light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, in love, always in love. Ooh, Allah, Allah, ooh, Allah, ooh, Allah, Allah, ooh, ooh, Allah, Allah, ooh, Allah, ooh, Allah, Allah, my heart reflects your light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, in love, always in love. Let my heart reflect your light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, in love, always in love. Ooh, Allah.
Back, dear listeners. So the question now is there a way to be free of this karmic cycle? Well, fear not, for Swami says there is a way. Swami says that even a mountain of sin can be wiped out by winning the grace of the divine. Hence, we should all strive to earn the love of God, which is all-embracing and all-powerful. But how do we earn God's grace? Swami says, install him in your heart. Make him the basis of all your actions, then all your actions will become sacred. Grace can nullify karmic effects. Swami compares grace to a morphine injection. When it is given, you can't feel the pain. He also gives the example of the expired tablet, which will not have any effect even if it is taken. A completely traumatic experience can be totally nullified by the grace of God, And this is the power of God's grace, and it is important to seek it. However, grace can do much more than this. Grace is like a matchstick which can burn a sack of cotton. Even if you have a huge store of karma, it will all get burned away by the grace of God. So, this is what Swami has to say about grace. Swami says there is a difference between the benefit of grace and the benefit of bhakti or devotion. A patient with pain is given a sedative which dulls the pain, but grace is an operation that does entirely away with pain. Swami says, make no mistake, grace does entirely away with karma.
My dreams, oh my Lord, I will come to you. In the altar in my home, my light a lamp for you. Deep in my heart, a light is burning too.
In the altar in my home, my light a lamp for you. Deep in my heart, a light is burning too.
Back, dear listeners. Well, what if I tell you that there is one way to continue doing your worldly duties and actions without acquiring the consequences of karma, whether it is good or bad? Well, I'm sure you'll be excited to know, and you'll be asking, how can we do this? Well, this can be achieved through the karma phala tyaga, or sacrificing the fruits of the deeds that we do. When we perform our actions without attaching ourselves to the fruits of the actions, then we offer the results back to the divine, thus sacrificing our attachments to the outcome. Swami explains this concept very beautifully here for us. So here is a small excerpt from the Divine Discourse where Swami talks about, Swami says that we really do not have the right to the fruit of the action.
Karma yokka phalamu, karma yokka భావము మనకు ప్రధానమని మనం భావిస్తున్నాము.
We are thinking that the results of work which we do and the type of work which we do.
కానీ కర్మాచరణ యొక్క కర్తవ్యం మనం ప్రత్యేకంగా మనం విచారించాలి.
But we will have to consider carefully what is the purpose, what is the objective with which we do such work.
కార్య విజయ నిమిత్తమై అనేక మంది అనేక పెడమార్గములు పడుతుంటారు.
In order that they may achieve success in some work which they undertake, several people take to many unacceptable paths of doing that work.
కార్యము యొక్క క్రమం మనకు ప్రధానం కాని కార్యము యొక్క విజయం మనకు ప్రధానం కాదు.
The method by which the work is done is important. It is not the success of the work which you undertake that is important.
మీకు అందరికీ తెలిసినటువంటి విషయమే, ఏదో ఒక కార్యమునందు విజయాన్ని సాధించాలనుకున్నప్పుడు మానవుడు తన అధికారాన్ని తన దుర్వినియోగం చేసుకుంటుండ.
దిస్ ఇస్ సంథింగ్ విచ్ ఇస్ నోన్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. మ్యాన్ వెన్ హీ వాంట్స్ టు అచీవ్ సక్సెస్
ప్రజలను పెడమార్గం పట్టిస్తాడు.
హీ విల్ అడాప్ట్ హిజ్ ఓన్ మెథడ్స్. హీ విల్ యూజ్ ఆల్ హిజ్ అథారిటీ.
తన ధన బలము అధికార బలము చేత వారిని లొంగింప చేసుకుంటాడు.
హీ విల్ మేక్ పీపుల్ టేక్ టు ది రాంగ్ పాత్. హీ విల్ యూజ్ అబ్యూజ్ హిజ్ పొజిషన్.
భయభ్రాంతుల చేత తన కార్యాన్ని విజయము గావించుకుంటాడు.
బై ఫియర్ హీ విల్ గెట్ సక్సెస్ ఫర్ హిజ్ వర్క్.
కానీ ఇది విజయమైనప్పటికీ అపజయముతో పాటు సమానమే.
Although this is success, this is really equal to failure.
ఒకరిని భయపెట్టి ఒకరి లొంగ తీసుకుని ఒకరికి స్వేచ్ఛనివ్వక కేవలం తన బలము చేత తనను వశము గావించుకుని కార్యసిద్ధిని గావించుకోవటం, ఇది జయమైనప్పటికీ అపజయంగానే మనం భావించాలి.
Causing fear in others' mind, taking away their freedom, and by using one's own strength to make them subordinate to himself, success that may be achieved cannot be called success. That should be regarded as failure.
నీవు నీ క్రమాన్ని అనుసరిస్తూ నీ సత్యాన్ని వదలకుండా రుజుమార్గాన్ని తప్పకుండా ధైర్యమును వీడకుండా నీవు అపజయము పొందినప్పటికీ అందులో జయమునే సాధించినటువంటి వాడు అవుతావు.
Following your duty, not swerving from the path of truth, not losing courage. Even if you fail in the task which you undertake, we should regard that as success.
So dear listeners, let's all remember that at the end of the day, karma is something as natural as breathing. As it is nothing but action. Action that we perform every moment of our lives. The key is to remember that every action will have a corresponding reaction. So if it is good that we do, then good will come back to us tenfold. Similarly, if it is bad that we do, then the same comes back to us tenfold. And mind you, this is not only restricted to physical actions, but it also applies to our thoughts and words. So karma can be altered and changed at any time, depending on how we choose to respond to situations and experiences in our lives in the present, in the now. What we do now will in turn affect how the future turns out for us. And the best way to relieve ourselves from all this is simply to give up our attachments to the outcome of the action. In other words, karma phala tyaga is the way to go. After all, remember, life is a game. So let us play the game the best we can and leave the rest up to the master. So dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this presentation on the theme of karma and karma phala. Please do write your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. So this is Chandu Vijay and you're listening to Love to Love. And till we meet next week, Jai Sai Ram.
To me, oh, ho pita, Bhagavan, to know this love, now what could be sweeter, Jai Sai Ram. Hare Hare Ram, Sai Gyan Shama, Vrinda.
Yeah. Shiva Raja, Har 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 Har.